بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When sitting in i'tikaf, what should be the frame of mind? Others explained it very simply and very, very easily. Says, imagine that there is trouble all around. There's shooting, there's fighting, and there's different types of trouble that's prevalent all around. On account of that, the army has placed a curfew in that area. Curfew, this is quite common in India, Pakistan. Army comes in and the movement is limited from one time to the other. Say around 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock. After that there is no movement. If there is an emergency, then you go to that police that is in guard, is in security, and tell him that this is an emergency, and he will escort you. So now, if anybody tries to avoid this curfew, he escapes this curfew, then they will shoot him, they will kill him. Now, you can imagine there's trouble all around, all over, to the right, to the left, in front, behind, there's all trouble right through. And on account of that, there is a curfew that has been placed. Now, precisely at that moment, the Prime Minister comes in and he says, all right, you my friend, so I will lift the curfew for you and you come within my quarters. Come within my quarters, see the whole place that I live in, you come and live here. Now, this is a similar situation. All around us are the thieves of Iman, the robbers of righteousness and virtue, the smugglers of taqwa, all around. You look to the right, you look to the left, you look in front, behind. So everywhere there is trouble. Now, if you want to save yourself and secure yourself, what do you do? What must you do? Platon, they call him Pluto, philosopher of the time. He came up to Musa alayhi salam and he asks Musa alayhi salam, say for example, the sky was shooting arrows, it was shooting the arrows, and the target was the earth. The sky is shooting it, right? And the target is the earth. So now, if you caught up in all this commotion, what is the best thing for you to do? So Musa alayhi salam immediately replied, then the best thing in that situation is to go on the side of the sky. To go on to the side of the sky, then it is the routine, it is a normal thing. One that is releasing those arrows, his arrows will not get you. Why? Because you are on his side now, you are in line with him. You're not confronting him, you're not opposing him, you're not against him. So when you aren't against him, you aren't opposing him, you aren't confronting him, those arrows are not going to get you. Right? So the right thing is to go on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you go on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all those arrows of fitna, the arrows of trouble, the arrows of irreligiousness, the arrows of sin and transgression, the arrows of cheating and deceit, the arrows of immorality and indecency, the arrows of love of the world, excessive love of the world. All these arrows are faced against us. They're pointing towards us. Now what do we do? We've got no security. Wherever we turn, we're getting shot down. Shot down here, shot down there, shot down there. Now, how long are we going to allow us to be shot down? There must be some point and some time where we come into our senses that now I had enough of this. I've been shot down by the arrows of indecency. I've been shot down by the arrows of love of the world. I've been shot down by the arrows of deceit and betrayal. So different types of arrows. Each person, according to the work description he's got a different work. So he'll be shot down with different types of arrows. Right? The person is in the shop, or he's in the business, he's in the office. So that type of arrows will be released against him. All the time, perhaps there'll be a woman, he'll have to be careful about those things. There will be transactions coming up that may be a little bit shady and not clear. So now this is another arrow. It's another arrow. And you don't know what's going to be the circumstance, what's going to be the consequence, you don't know. Okay. Many a times we go into this area and then we pay for it very, very dearly. Pay for it very dearly. You don't realize it that this is the arrow and what you are suffering. You are suffering on account of this arrow that was shot. And you went for that arrow. Actually, you went in the direction of that arrow. You was exposing yourself to it. So you got shot down. Okay. So these situations do happen. And then to release that arrow, that poison of that arrow, it's a very strenuous thing. It's a very difficult thing. It doesn't just come out straight away. See, someone is gone to Malawi, for example, right? And malaria, and this, you know, it's widespread malaria. Anybody that is going into that area is getting affected. And you go there. So what happens to you? Around the time that you go there, there is a contagious sickness. You go there. Now you contact that sickness. Then sometimes you have to be hospitalized for 1 month, 2 months. So the question is that why do you go into this area? Why do you get into this place? And the problem with us is that we consider that to be a small thing. We'll just make istighfar and we'll get ourselves wiped out. The effects of this remains. See? It remains for a time, for a long time it remains. And only then do we come to our senses. Imagine a person gets into the habit of cigarettes, right? Smoking or drugs. Right. I may make istighfar for it. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. It's a mistake. And I've done the wrong thing. But tell me how long it takes him to get himself cleared from this. How long it takes him. So the nature of sin and the nature of drugs is very identical. Very, very identical. This is the nature of sin and it's the nature of drugs. It's the nature of intoxicants, exactly the same. To get out of it, once it's in, or to pluck it out, to uproot it, becomes very, very difficult. And you have a relapse. Because you started it, you experimented it, now you have a relapse. So the right way is to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hold to His rope, and to hold to His rope very, very firmly. Not to let go of this. That is why they say, خدا کا رسا تو چھوٹ سکتا ہے ٹوٹ نہیں سکتا. When you hold to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, this rope of Allah Ta'ala can perhaps, you can break loose of it. You can break your hold from that rope of Allah Ta'ala. But the rope of Allah Ta'ala doesn't break. It doesn't snap. You perhaps may break away from it. But the rope itself, it doesn't snap. Doesn't cut. So hold firmly to him. وَعَتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ hold firmly. That's why Allah is saying وَعَتَسِيمُوا hold firmly. There is no other escape for you. There is no other security, no other protection. So like I say, there will be different type of arrows that will be released. Sometimes it will be indecency. Sometimes it will be حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. And حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, they say رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَا. It's a root of every guna, every sin. Every sin, it's the root of it. That is why they say that if there is just one person in this entire world and is holding firm to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, and the whole world is filled with shayateen, the worst degree of shaitans, they can't harm him. If he is holding firmly to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, he will be able to, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, with the karam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he will be able to subdue them. That is, if just one person. Okay. But to the contrary, if there is the entire world of awliya, and there is one person that is bent upon disobedience, he's got the hubbu dunya in his heart, love of dunya in his heart. Right. Now first you need to understand what is hubbu dunya. Hubbu dunya doesn't mean that I have a liking for ice cream or chocolates, then that is not hubbu dunya. Hubbu dunya is to hanker after the earth, hanker after the world beyond the limit. Right? You run and chase after the world beyond the limit. That is what is called hubbu dunya. And when you say beyond the limit, what do you mean? You are running after the world to make a living. That's not hubbu dunya, alright? To make a halal living, you are running behind, so it's not haram. But over the limit, now over the limit means, now you're not watching, you're not looking and observing the traffic regulations. Traffic regulations say you that here you're supposed to be traveling in this direction. Right? Not in the opposite direction. So if you're going to be traveling in the opposite direction, that will be an offense, a traffic offense. You will be sued, you will have to suffer the circumstance. Why? You have contravened the traffic regulation. So in the same manner, this hubbu dunya, you have to, like, the motorist has to drive. There's no other way, but he has to drive, he has to reach his goal, whatever his goal may be, he has to drive. So you also have to drive. In this world, you will have to drive. Your drive is after dunya. So the drive you can't avoid, the journey you can't avoid. But then, you begin to drive in the opposite direction, what's going to happen? It's going to be a big problem. How many people's lives can go if you're driving in a freeway, you're driving at the speed limit, 120, in opposite direction. So how many people's lives can be lost? What a big confusion, what a big commotion, what will happen? The police ever sees you, they'll perhaps shoot you down, do something just to save the lives of other innocent drivers. But you are moving, and you are required to move on the world. You are required to move in this whole traffic. In the same manner, you are required to move here. But move and travel observing all the regulation. Now interest, for example, one thing. And you didn't take the care, you didn't observe that regulation, what happens? Similarly, there are different things. Heard Umar radiallahu anhu's saying is recorded in Muwatta Imam Malik. At-tatfifu fi kulli shay. At-tatfifu fi kulli shay. You know, you say to fill the scale. So this filling of the scale doesn't only apply to the scale that we know of, the balance that we know of. That is one scale. Right, that is one of the scale, one of the medium whereby we get our things balanced up. So this is not the only scale that the Quran Sharif is speaking about, but the tfifu fi kulli shay, this applies to everything. Right? You're working in the madrasa, for example, right? And the madrasa requires you to come at this time and leave at that time. So that's a contract. That's an arrangement, it's a contract between you and your employer, right? Now you don't come at that time. So again, there's an imbalance here. See, this is now called Hubbud Dunya. Why it's called Hubbud Dunya? Outwardly it seems you are teaching. And you're saying that this is Hubbud Dunya. Yes, we'll say that it's Hubbud Dunya. Why, you're coming 5 minutes late, for example, and you're clocking in, and not recording this. So what is being given to you, is it permissible or not permissible? Right? What is being given to you, is that permissible or not permissible? Are you bordering? With halal and haram you are bordering. And then this impacts upon your whole life. Your whole thinking will get affected. Your whole understanding, your outlook will get affected. See, with Allah Ta'ala, the right way is to be straight and clear. Rather pay 2 cents more than taking 1 cent extra. Okay? Rather pay 2 cents more. You'll see the after effects will be far, far better, far greater. So now it's the madrasa you are teaching, and then I'm saying you that you are in Hubbud Dunya. Okay? But what is the reason? You have overstepped the mark. So this will apply to any situation in every situation. Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah says that in Sahanpur Madrasa there was one Qari Sahib, Qari Saeed or something. Initially we were not so friendly. Not that we were enemies to each other, but there wasn't that type of bonding between us. I knew him, I greeted him, I respected him, but there was no such a thing like familiarity and bonding. Until one day, this had happened, that he had returned from his journey. He was sent to Bengal somewhere, Calcutta somewhere, for chanda, for collection. On his return, he surrendered a report. Mahabdul Latif Sahib, you should normally be in contact with me. Though I was a very junior person, but he used to contact me. And he should tell me what's going on. Mashwara, whatever it is. So this Qari Saeed Sahib, he had surrendered a report that the madrasa had dispatched me in this direction in Bengal. And they dispatched me to collect on their behalf. Now, from Bengal, from Calcutta, I went to visit one friend of mine that was living in the suburbs of Calcutta. Right. Then he says, he adds to this report of his, that in the suburb that I had gone to, I had collected much more, triple or even maybe 4 times more than what I had collected in the place that the madrasa had sent me. The madrasa had sent me to Calcutta. Here I collected 1,000. And here I went to visit my friend, that was my niyat. And here I collected 4,000. Right? But I am reimbursing the madrasa with this amount of money, this amount of cash I am reimbursing. So it took me 100 rupees to go and come to this suburb, then I am reimbursing the madrasa with 100 rupees. Though I had collected 4 times more than what I had collected in Calcutta. Right? I am sent to Durban, but I went to visit my friend in Chatsworth. In Chatsworth I collected 4 times what I collected in Durban. Unexpected. But I'm reimbursing the madrasa for this 100 rupees. Why I'm reimbursing the madrasa? Because my intention to go to Chatsworth wasn't to go for the madrasa. Was for my personal reason. But it happened thereafter that I collected more there than what I collected in Durban. Right? So I want to reimburse this money into the madrasa. So the Shaykh Hamza says that when I read this, then automatically I became very friendly with this person. Just Qudrati I just became friendly with him. I just began to take a liking for him. That's what Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that people talk about unity and they make it a topic on its own. He says, I have a difference of opinion in this regards. To make a talk on the subject of unity, then I have a difference of opinion. He says, I feel, in my humble opinion, the more effective way of going about uniting and getting people together is to come onto the platform of righteousness and taqwa. Once people become united on righteousness and taqwa, then they will automatically be united. Right? They are in righteousness, they are sincere, they have got taqwa, right? So when they've got taqwa, they will know what taqwa is calling for, what it's demanding for, what it's standing for, right? You love for your brother what you love for yourself. You don't harbor any malice for your brother. You don't have any suspicions against him. This is all righteousness, this is all taqwa. Right? So, when you will root yourself firmly in righteousness, in taqwa, in salah, in piety, then automatically you will become friends. But if you will go, you will go specially and independently for unity, then you're not going to get it. Because our unity, you have made unity your goal, you have made that your target, you have made that the focus, right? Now it may be a situation where there was some serious discrepancy with this person here. Now you will be in a quandary, what do I do? On the one side, now I need to remain united. But then this is a serious discrepancy now. How do I reconcile the both? It's a very, very awkward situation. On the one side, I need to reconcile, I need to be united. But then there is a discrepancy with this person here. Now how do I get about reconciling the both? So now then you will be compromising. You'll be compromising, you won't know what to do. Right? You have been appointed as the manager of a shop, right? And you would like your staff to be united with you, to be for you, and talk good about you, etc., etc. Right? Now, you can see there's a discrepancy in one staff. Right? He's not coming on time. Now, what's your duty? Your duty, as appointed by the company, was to oversee the staff. And now you can see that this staff here is not playing the game right. According to the rules and the regulations of the company, he's not behaving. Right? So now you're in a fix now, because on the one end you feel, no, I've got a degree of unity and liking and muhabbat with this people, with the staff of mine. And on the other end, there's a discrepancy that he's not coming on time. How do I get the boat? How do I forge the boat? Must I now make up an explanation for him and say, no, you know, he's got a wife and children, he's got obligations and duties. And if I'm going to pin him down for every simple mistake that he makes, what's going to happen to them? I need to have a broader vision, and I need to look at these things as well. Right? So the question that comes about here is that he's not the only person who's got a wife and children. There are a lot of people on the street that they've got wife and children. Right? And it is their duty to take care of those subordinates of theirs. So if he's got a duty, then they have also got duties. So why is it that you only are concerned about this person here? And then you are concerned about him, not with your wealth, with the company's wealth. Whose wealth is it? It is the wealth of the company. I remember once, some years ago, one Jamaat was going. It was coming from Jeddah, it was coming back to South Africa. So the one brother was overweight, new brother. Right? New brothers now, they have to be guided, they have to be corrected. Now he's on the scales there, and he's telling that official, that just help me out with this 10 kilos and Allah will reward you. So the official turned around and told him, no, I fear Allah will punish me, that I am cheating the company. This company doesn't belong to me. I am working for them. When I am working for them and I am allowing your 10 kilos to go unchecked, right, unpaid for, then I am cheatful to the company. When I'm cheatful to the company, I'm afraid that Allah Ta'ala will punish me. He won't favor me. See? You see that hubbu dunya, where it comes in. See? So this hubbu dunya will come and will express itself in various ways, in different ways. And because it is such a discrete thing, you know, it's such a, you get so complicated, so confused. That is why this is known to be the rasu kulli khatiyatin. It's the root of all sin. Every sin, the root of it, you will find it here in hubbu dunya. Right? So that's what's being shown here in this article by Mr. Rahmatullahi, that the world and the earth is full of this type of corruption, full of this type of trouble. Wherever you go, you'll be faced with, and you'll be confronted with some problem, some confusion, some corruption, something or the other. Now, where's the security? How do you save yourself? How do you guard yourself? How do you protect yourself? So that is what you say, La ilaha illa anta. There's no safety for me. There's no sanctuary for me but in you, O Allah. La malja'a wa la manja'a minka illa ilayk. There's no place of security, no place of protection. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Those three Sahaba Kiram that were boycotted, Allah Ta'ala speaks in praise of them. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They were absolutely convinced, oh, there is no security, no protection for us. If there is a protection for us, there is sanctuary for us, there is security for us, then it is with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So now, we need to do two things here. One is this, that to get ourselves convinced that our sanctuary and our protection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa anta. Okay? Everything else is just a means, is just a medium. He is just the messenger, understand? Everything else is just the messenger, is just going to pass it. The giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this person is just passing it on. So we need to convince ourselves first that whoever it is, be it the tree, be it the person, be it the shop, whatever it is, they are just the person that are passing it on to us. Right? Now if we don't have this mindset, then we'll have too many enemies. Oh, this person, he is throwing the spanners in my works. It is because of him that I cannot progress. It's because of this person that I've got all these problems here. So what has happened? Our mind has switched on, has shifted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that means. Okay. The right way is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand that it is coming from Him. He is the giver. He is the bestower. He is the provider. When He is the provider, then He will give it to you. The messenger can be anybody else. The person that is passing on the gift can be anybody. If he doesn't want to give it, Allah will send someone else. He'll send it in some other way. The postman, he is only responsible to deliver the post. Now if he for some reason goes on a strike, or he says, no, I don't want to work for you, so the post office will say, alright, good luck, you go away, and they'll appoint someone else. They'll get someone else to do the same work. You are not indispensable. So he's not indispensable, that if he doesn't do it, then how is this going to bear the fruit? It's not like that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tree is just a means. It is just that means. Allah ta'ala is the provider. He is just the means. Allah ta'ala is the giver. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. So these problems that we have, generally, is because of this, that our attention is shifted. Is shifted from Allah Ta'ala to that means. Shifted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that qasid, to that person. But the moment we begin to get ourselves convinced that it is Allah Ta'ala that is giving, Allah Ta'ala that is providing. So I will turn my whole focus to Him, I'll turn my whole attention to Him. So this is the first thing to do, is our focus be to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. See, the hadith has taught us istisqa, right? Rain. There's shortage of water. There's a drought all over. There's a drought. The whole of South Africa and neighboring countries, there's a drought. Very, very serious drought. Farmers are complaining. People with livestock, they are complaining. Everybody's complaining about drought, right? So what does the hadith teach us? The hadith teaches us that istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilay yursil as-samaa'a alaykum midrara. That you turn to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness sincerely, not for convenience sake. One is for convenience sake you planning and plotting with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that is not counted. It's not counted. Sincerely you turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Planning and plotting, so I'll make istighfar, things will work out, then you'll carry on after that. Allah Ta'ala knows what's within the heart. He knows your planning, your scheming, your conniving, He knows it. As Mustafa Rahmatullah says, that one person complained about his child. See, he says, paise mangta rehta hai. So Mustafa Rahmatullah advised the child, are bachche, tu paise mangta hai. You go on asking for money. So he held his ears straight away. And he says, no, toba kartao, toba, toba, toba. I make toba. And not even five minutes passed. Now the child again, he nudges the shoulder of his father. And he says, Abba, ab to maine toba bhi kar li, ab to paise de do. Now I make toba, no? Now give me that money. So this is not a toba of convenience. Not a toba of convenience. You come sincerely. You know, if someone does something to us just out of convenience, how upset don't we become? People, you hear of it nowadays, in this mixed marriages, right? So now this is a convenience marriage. Don't we say that? If some of our cousin, some of our relative is involved, Allah Ta'ala protect, Allah Ta'ala forbid. But what do we say? It's a convenience marriage. Just now, the man will come out with his true colors. How do we feel about it? How do we take it? We take it personally. What they're doing? What they think? They think they're making a joke with Allah Ta'ala. They're making a joke with Islam. So we take it very seriously. Why? It relates to our personal pride, to our reputation. So we take it personally. Right? So similarly, with Allah Ta'ala, you come clearly to Him. Absolutely clear. Not for convenience. Not because of expediency. Not because of any other gharz. But just for His sake. I need to do it. And I need to do it for my own self. I need to do it for my own akhirat. Okay. So I'd explain that if the entire world were full of shayateen and one person held firmly to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, then he will subdue all those shayateen. But to the contrary, if the whole world was full with awliya and one person was overcome with hubbud dunya, he was told hubbud dunya, they will not be able to impress him. And he is overcome with dunya and the love for dunya, so they will not be able to impress him. They will give him lectures, bayans, kitabs, and what have you. They will do everything. But their talk, their kitabs, and whatever they have will be of no avail, will not impress you in the least. So the right thing is to syringe this out, to purge this out of the system. But the system has got this poison, like that, so as to say, like the artery is blocked, and that artery needs to be cleaned out, right? It needs to be cleared out. So it's a big system, it's a big problem. It's blocking the whole passage, and it can result in death. So you need to flush this out, you need to syringe this out, you need to purge this out. So it's a big problem. That's why you come here, come into the masjid, like you have come to an ICU, come to an ICU, you come for major surgery. that thing is stuck up so badly, it's stuck up, I need to get it out. I need to get it out. Now, in that i'tikaf, then you will not wait, you will not come with this mindset that I'm waiting for some wahi to come, for some type of inspiration and some type of dream to come, and that something that is supernatural may happen to me. No. You're coming here as though you are filled with all that problems. You know, that my arteries are blocked. Four arteries, five arteries are blocked. I need to clear them up. I need to clear them up. And now how are you going to clear them up? Now you clear them up with istighfar. One person, he came to the Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says, I'm so long in your service, but I don't see anything. So I told him that what you do is the fazilat and the virtues that have been explained in the hadith about the zikr, about this tasbih, you do the tasbih with that virtue in mind. This is the sawab, and this is the reward that has been promised for this bus. Nothing further than that. Don't worry about the supernatural thing. Something will begin to become clear to you. You'll have inspirations and things will open out for you. Don't worry about that. You put your mind onto the virtues that have been promised. And if after doing what I have asked you to do, on the day of Qiyamah you appear and you don't get that type of sawab that has been promised, then you hold my collar and complain to Allah Ta'ala that He been promising me with wrong promises. Now that is our problem, that we come here with different frames of mind. So we are like that patient whose arteries are blocked. You know, now that arteries that are blocked, how do we purge that block out? That block, how do we clear it out? How do we flush it out? So we flush it out with istighfar. With istighfar. We imagine ourselves to be, for example, in the theater, and it's being syringed out, it's being flushed out. They're putting something, they're flushing it out. They're flushing it out. They're cleansing those arteries, those blockages. That it will block my whole deen, it will block my whole iman, it will block my whole hereafter. And then, if I'm going to go off, then it's likely that my innocent children also will take the same route. On account of my selfishness, I went on this path here. I thought it would be betterment of my children. But I didn't realize, out of my naivety, that I brought a block to me, to myself, and that impacted on the lives of my children. I'll be dead and gone, and they will be suffering the consequences of my naivety and my selfish attitude. So I'm going to clear myself, I'm going to clear those blockages, then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will accept me, will take me in. And this will impact on my children as well. So now you think like this. When you think like this, then Allah Ta'ala opens those blockages. One blockage. When you cry, you remain crying. Asking Allah Ta'ala, if you can't cry, then at least the heart should show some tears. Allah Ta'ala, I'm sorry about this. I'm really wrong. I've done wrong. And I admit it. May iqrari mujrimhu. I acknowledge that I am definitely guilty. There's no two ways about it, that I'm not guilty. I'm guilty for it. I cannot say that I didn't do it. I confess that you wash it out. You imagine yourself getting washed out all the time. And in that month, if that all that sins that have been loaded, that have blocked all those arteries, if all those sins are washed out, then you consider yourself, alhamdulillah, that it is really something that I have earned. It's a worthwhile bargain. I have bargained for something that was really profitable. So in this frame of mind, we sit down. And the third thing, as I said yesterday as well, we keep our focus. Don't shift the focus. There will be a lot of things coming up now. Someone will talk of business, someone will talk of what, someone will talk of what. So we don't get our minds hooked up in any of these things. We have come with a certain frame of mind, and that frame of mind needs to be with us all the time. And that, as I said, to clean ourselves, to purify ourselves, to correct ourselves. That artery needs to be cleansed and it needs to be corrected, that it can continue with its work. If it is not corrected, can it continue with its work? It cannot continue. So it needs to be clean, need to be cleansed, and it needs to be corrected so that it can continue with its functioning. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare.